McDonald's Fanky Drill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the World Wide Web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome once again to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. It's presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Alongside the head basketball coach of the boy, Vinton County Vikings, everybody's favorite sex symbol, Matt Combs. I'm Carl Knox. So happy you could join us for episode number 46. How are you today, Coach?
All right, how you doing?
I'm average.
Well, hang in there.
You're not doing well either, so just stop lying right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Your typical late-season train wreck psyche. The issues of being a coach and an athletic director.
Yes. Combine those two can be crazy.
Yeah, multitasking was never your forte, was it?
Evidently not.
No. I heard that you had problems handling multiple events at the same time.
Well, I mean, got to be careful where you get your information.
Well, you know, it's late in the season. You come in here with all kinds of drama. I figured you'd be happy. You guys won a game Saturday night. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Good win.
It was.
Waverly, yeah. Prior to that, I stayed away from you last week because you lost to Athens, and I figured you would be on suicide watch for a few days. Glad to see everything's okay, and you're there in your chair, got your bottle of water, got your iPhone. Text is just blowing up right now. Got officiating issues, and
we've had some craziness. We had Saturday. We had a guy official get sick that morning, and I had a JV, and I had to scramble and find some people. So it's that time of year, I guess. You're scrambling around, but you know, could be worse. At least we're not having the weather issues this year we did last year.
Be careful, you still got a couple weeks to go.
Yeah, I was just thinking,
I was looking at your schedule, I was like, you know, this is not going to be the end of this. If everything stays as it is, you shouldn't have one of these deals where you're jamming trying to get postponed games before the tournament. But don't want to jinx ourselves. No, that officiating thing, and I don't take shots. Everyone, just because you have a don't call a good game doesn't make you a bad person, and the easiest thing to do in the world is criticize. So I like to criticize, but actually all the guys that I sat with Saturday night, we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah,
we had a pool going as to when carp would get teed up. $5, you know.
Carp's too calm for that.
Yeah, are you serious? Well, that's you saying that, and that's irrational.
Relative.
Itself. Yeah, but I mean, I knew that Coach Yates and Coach Hale on the freshman bench, they're pretty low-key, pretty.
Right.
I don't know. Carp's got a different. He's got like a alter ego. He can get a little passionate on the bench. Just to say, that crew was challenged. Yeah. They tried, but they were a little challenged.
Had to piece it together late. It happens.
It does. Yeah, and that's just part of. That's why you make the big bucks, brother.
Oh yeah.
Six-figure salary right here.
So I drive that nice car. I drive.
It is sharp.
A 2001 Altima. That's everybody's dream.
Anyone with a Lamborghini doesn't have squat on you, brother.
That's right.
Hey, we're recording this Monday afternoon, February the 9th, if you care. Do you care?
Not particularly.
Me neither, but we have to get that in for our executive producer, which he's already on a rant today.
Oh.
I got to get this uploaded, like, in 5 minutes. Edited, multi-tracked, uploaded. Because he also serves as the PA announcer for the girls.
And yeah.
He needs to be there 2 hours for tip.
Well prepared.
I think they're doing a sound check, the PA system. He said the AD screws up the system every time he walks away from it. So, anyhow. Huh? Let that go. Got a good guest today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Former Vinton County graduate, Caitlin Owens. She's at Marshall, involved in track and field. So, Division I athlete, quite a, quite a, uh, quite an accomplishment, obviously, for her. We're going to get a chance to talk to her. She was a basketball player, standout, really, on the team. And
a standout three-sport athlete.
Well, yeah, she really was. And track and field ended up being the route she went. I think she went to the state track meet. We'll talk to her, obviously, a couple years in the high jump. And I believe that's her main thing she's doing there, if I'm not mistaken, is the high jump.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll talk to her and find out everything for sure. But, we like to have some of these former athletes on just so people can kind of keep up with them, see how they're doing.
Yeah, she was, very good in the classroom. I think she's an elementary education major, unless that's what her bio said. I don't know if that's changed. But she's a sophomore down at Marshall now. And, you know, we've talked to different Where Are They Now guests over the years. And any of them that have played college athletics at any level, they'll be the first to tell you it's a full-time job. But obviously, when you get to the D1 level, regardless of sports, that's the big time. And she's, Marshall's now in what, Conference USA?
I believe so.
I know they were in the MAC for a while.
I think they're in Conference USA now.
Yeah, no, they're not in the MAC. So we'll talk to her. But we do have two games to recap quickly that we've had since our last broadcast. Last Tuesday evening, February the 3rd, you go over to McAfee Gymnasium over at Athens High School, lose to a very, very good Athens Bulldog team. The final score, 50-48. I know you had that game. It was pretty close, I guess, through the first three and a half quarters, maybe, or
right.
It was within reach, and then Athens just kind of pulled away and kind of had an 18-point lead. And I do know one stat I did hear. I don't have a very good stat compilation this week because someone didn't upload the film, but I guess they had no turnovers the entire game. Is that accurate?
That could be. We didn't the first half of that game was kind of, I wouldn't say slow pace. It was more of a half-court game. The tempo picked up a little bit in the second half. I don't know. I don't know if that's – I'd have to look into that and see. I haven't really looked at it. But I know that it was a pretty – it was honestly a pretty well-played game, both teams for, two and a half quarters.
Right.
And in the end, they pulled away from us a little bit.
Scoring for Vinton County, you're led by a pretty balanced scoring, actually. Max Ward had 12, Tristan Bartow with 11, Jordan Albright with 6, Chase Wood and Nalen Yates have 3, Tyler Barnett, Bradley Stevens both with 2, and Caleb Montgomery with 1 point. Leading all scorers for the Bulldogs was Ryan Lerman with 20. Joe Burrow had 13, as did Griffin Lutz, and Adam Lerman had 10. Scoring by quarters, you guys actually were up after the first quarter, 15-13. And then the score at the half was 27-22. After three quarters, it was 42-33 Athens, and the final 58-40, as you guys fall for the second time to the Bulldogs. And I know that's a game that, the Athens roster, not very deep, but, kind of the moxie on them is, but with their lack of depth, that's the good news. The bad news is they got 4 or 5 players that can really hurt you in a lot of size, a lot of length. And it just, I think one of the things when they lost at Warren was the moxie on them is if you can get their ball handler Lutz in problems, you can kind of, that kind of creates an right. issue for them. But was the game plan to kind of play a slow down half court type of game, or what was your game plan going on?
Oh, not really. Our main focus was defensively, trying not to let them score right at the rim. I think a lot of times you go in, I know the first time we played them, we were concerned obviously about Burrow and his ability to shoot the three, and Lutz and his ability on the perimeter. But I think the more I watched them play throughout the season, the teams that could try to protect the basket a little bit, to where even if Burrow hit 4 or 5 threes on you, and if you could take away some of those points right around the rim, you could maybe have a little bit of success stopping them. I thought we did that early pretty well. I think we gave up 13 first quarter points, which I thought was a solid effort. If we honestly, in the first half, it was a close game at halftime, like you said, we had lost, I think, 3 or 4 loose balls that were just sort of 50-50 balls that are up for grabs, and we didn't win them, and that's where they get you, is their physicality,
right.
and their overall toughness and size. It's tough to win some of those battles against them, and then you end up you know, sometimes you end up dying the slow death with them because they're not a team that's going to usually spurt out on you and blow you out early. It's typically more of, you know, as the game goes on, their strength, their size starts to wear on you, starts to whittle away at you a little bit, I guess. And like you said, you know, all of a sudden you find yourself down five at halftime, down nine at the end of the third, and then, you know what I mean, and you're trying to get back in it, and they just wear you down. So, you know, I didn't think our kids played, you know, a terrible basketball game. We had some trouble in the late third, early fourth of getting our shot off from the perimeter. They really did a good job of defending that, and we couldn't score at the rim with their size very well. And, you know, it was a pretty physical game, so that lends itself to them a little bit. And I think they sensed that, and they really amped it up a little bit in that category. And next thing you know, you're in that situation. But again, it is what it is. We knew it was going to be a difficult challenge, and you know, so we just had to move on from there.
Now, to that point, I think you kind of touched on it, but I know our last episode 45, that was coming off the Piketon loss, and you were you were not happy, period. You were not only upset about the loss, but I think you were kind of getting upset about the play of some individuals on the team, and maybe lack of confidence and right. lack of effort. And I know you guys kind of had a big heart-to-heart film session that Sunday after that loss. With that being said, even though you didn't beat Athens, were you a little bit more pleased with the effort you saw of your kids in terms of being mentally, emotionally ready? Because I know one of the things of the first game is you made the point and didn't really make any bones about it when they came over, when Athens played over here, was you were just like, our kids were a little bit intimidated. Do you think that they came out a little bit more
chippy? I think it got better. I mean, if you look, I think that was the first time in the last three or four games against this Athens team that we've won the first quarter. So I thought our kids did come out with a little higher level of intensity and confidence, and played a really good first quarter, really played a good first half. We had a couple things there toward the end of the half, broke down on us and allowed them to have a 5-point lead. We missed a wide open shot there at the buzzer of the second quarter that could have cut into that. And I think to answer your question, I was more pleased. And then I definitely think that carried over then to Saturday night.
Yeah, and with that being said, Saturday night you come home and host Travis Robertson and the Waverly Tigers. Waverly playing out of the SOC 2. I know their wins and loss record isn't really indicative, but they've had some pretty good wins so far this year. I know they're a young team. They have a lot of JV kids dressing both JV and varsity. But you guys just really looked, I thought, pretty sharp as you guys jump out to a 19-11 first quarter lead, extend that lead to 20 at 42-22 at the half, and then take it to 66-44 at the end of three with a final score of 76-55. A lot of kids get into the game. Well, every kid gets into the game for that matter. You're led by Tristan Bartow with 18. Derek Jones lights it up for 16. Max Ward with 14. Jordan Albright with 8. I forgot. Chase Wood had 13. I'm reading this out of a scorebook, so kind of jump around.
Right. You did a good job.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. I digress. Adam Lambert has 3, Bo McIntyre with 2, as does Tyler McFerrin. They're led by Troy Rigsby. Is that the kid that transferred in?
No, that was number 3. Garrett, maybe?
Yeah, Dakota Garrett.
Yeah, we did a pretty good job on him because he was our shooter. The Rigsby kid's an athletic kid, probably about 6'3". I think he's a sophomore,
junior. Yeah, he can shoot it from all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, he's been inconsistent when you scout him as a shooter. He can do that, or he can have nights he can't hit anything. But he's very athletic. I thought he did a good job for them that night. But, yeah, we came out and really, I thought, established the tempo we wanted, just the way we wanted to play, the way we wanted them to have to play. And we got some easy baskets, which always helps your confidence early when you're able to do that. Right. And then I thought our defense was solid. You know, the third quarter wasn't very good defensively. That kid you were talking about, Rigsby, got off on us a little bit there. But I thought as a whole, you know, we just played a little bit harder than we have some lately. And the other thing is, too, I think the thing with this team is, at this point in the season, it's not so much just X's and O's or whatever. It's it's really with this particular group, they need to be, they need to play with emotion. You know, this group's kind of a lot of nice kids, very easy come, easy go, sort of level headed, you know, but sometimes you got to amp it up a little bit and play with a little more emotion. And that's the thing. I think if we're going to be a good tournament team, we've got to get to that point where we get in a habit of playing with that emotion. So that's really what we're focusing on right now. And I thought it was pretty good Saturday.
Well, and I've noticed some of the younger kids there with these kind of games, we have a pretty healthy lead in the second half, and you start, you know, I kind of gather that you're starting to rotate a lot of players in and giving kids more looks or different looks. One kid that, you know, only as a freshman, I guess he's kind of he got held back a year for athletic reasons, not academically, but Nalen Yates, my gosh, like, I love the way he runs the floor. He is fast, and for being as young as he is, you just think as he kind of grows into his body, he's going to be a handful in a year or two.
Yeah, he's a kid we're keeping a close eye on because he can really shoot the basketball. People see that on the JV. We've tried to work him in with the varsity a little bit here and there, and I think, you know, he's from a confidence standpoint, he's not quite there yet.
No.
You know, you don't see quite the same confidence when even in practice on the varsity when he rotates in with the varsity as he does when he plays the JV. But he'll get there, you know, and he's a kid that's growing so quick. He's had some leg issues too. He's constantly having to get treatment with the trainer because he's growing so fast.
Right.
And it's really scary, the ceiling on him, because he may be a kid by next year who's 6'3". Who knows? He's growing quickly, and that's bothered him, though, you know, his quickness a little bit certain nights with that leg issue. So you know, I think he's got a really high ceiling, especially in the next year when hopefully some of that pain goes away and he doesn't have to deal with that, and he can sort of go full go.
With that win versus Waverly, it takes your season total to 12-6 in the TVC, 6-3 on the year, as you guys are now in third place. But there's more. Tomorrow night, I think Alex has to go over to the MAC and play Athens. So
is that tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
Oh, is it? Okay.
According to TriValleyConference.com.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Troy Boland's website.
Okay.
Troy's on. But no, good crowd. Good win. Good crowd. Got to talk to the wife. Got to talk to both your sons.
Yeah.
That's always an adventure. Brevin, we had a scientific discussion with a lot of technology. Amy, good. The three times I saw Brogan through the course of the night, he was eating once, throwing a fit the other, and talking aimlessly to nobody but himself the third time.
Oh, it's pretty normal night for him, then.
Well, you know, he doesn't like to stay in one mode, you know, one mood. He kind of jumps around.
He also, after the game, was out on the floor and on a dead sprint and took a wipeout, man.
Ooh, this is like you guys were all getting ready.
I looked over and heard a thump, saw him go down. Never even cried, man. That kid's tougher than nails. I was joking. If that would have been Brevin, they'd have called the squad.
Get med flight on standby.
Somebody, you know, I don't know. But that was just different personalities there.
Yeah, I warned you. No, he's a great kid. Love him to death. But I remember, yeah, had one. Said, you got perfection there. Then we had little Matt. There you go. Paybacks, brother.
I hear that.
Anyhow, coming up next, our guest on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, part of our Where Are They Now segment. We'll go back and talk to a 2000 and what, 2012 graduate?
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah, only 2 years out. Caitlin Owens, now a high jumper for the Marshall University Thundering Herd. She's next on the Viking Realm Ball podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back on episode 46 of the Viking Realm Ball podcast, Carl Knox alongside head coach Matt Combs as we get this taped on Monday afternoon, February the 9th. Happy to welcome in our guest this week, all the way from the great city of Huntington, West Virginia. Happy to welcome in a 2013 graduate of the Benton County High School, now a sophomore at Marshall University, Caitlin Owens. How you doing, Caitlin?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. I'm sure you, you know, being a Division I college athlete and a full-time student, I'm sure you just have all kinds of time on your hand, right?
No, I wish.
we'll talk about your, you know, what's going on collegiately here in a little bit. I know you just, you know, it's only been, it seems like yesterday, only been 2 years since you graduated from Vinton County. But talk a little bit about, when we do this Where Are They Now segment, we basically go back and find graduates of Vinton County High School that excelled in athletics and also were did real well in the classroom, and obviously you fall into both of those categories. But what all sports? Obviously, you're doing track and field down at Marshall, but what all did you get into athletically at Vinton County?
I played varsity volleyball for 4 years, varsity basketball for 4 years, and then I lettered in varsity track all 4 years.
Yeah, I. Hi, Caitlin. How are we doing today? This is Matt Combs. Hey, now tell us the truth before we even get started. In all of your years in varsity sports, was NJ Kite the biggest goofball you ever had for a coach?
Yes.
That's the answer we're looking for. Though, obviously, you know, you had a lot of success in all those sports, and I know in track and field, I think you made it to the state, twice? Did you make it to the state?
Yeah. 2 years.
2 years in the high jump, and is that the only event you basically do now, or is there anything else?
Yep, just high jump.
Just at that level, I assume most people focus on one specialty.
Yeah, we have people that like run one or two events, but it's normally just sprinters. But if you come to college for D1, it's normally just one event.
Yeah, I'd say obviously that takes up most of your time. I know, in high school, I know Coach Lindner was very much into the training part of things. Is that something you liked, and is that part of the reason you chose? Because I know you had the opportunity to go play volleyball, you know, also. Is that what are some of the reasons, I guess, you decided to go the track and field route?
I just thought that being a Division I athlete was awesome. You know, working through high school, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be at the top. And Division I mean, you can't beat it. And I have like smaller Division I offers in volleyball, but really I just chose Marshall. I love Marshall. I love the team here. I mean, volleyball is probably my favorite sport, but there's a lot of money in girls track. And I mean, coming to school for free, you can't beat that.
Well, how did that? Because I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if it was Rio Grande. I know you had several offers from some NAIA schools or some D2 schools. And then it seemed like right at the 11th hour, Marshall came in. Had you and your family gone down there and visited, or did they just kind of get wind of you and call you at the last minute? How did that whole scenario play out?
I came down on my own visit my junior year just to see the campus, because they had sent me like a recruiting questionnaire in the mail. So I came down and I met with the coaches. And I wasn't really jumping too great. I jumped 5'8 my senior year, so that was prior to coming here. Or that was after I came on my first visit. So I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to get any better, so I just want to play volleyball. So I signed my senior year in December to go play volleyball at Rio. And where it was an NAIA school, I was able to get out of it. And then when Marshall called, I think they called me in March, and said, we'd love to have you. So I said, okay.
Has it been as difficult in terms of, I mean, one of the things we always hear from college athletes at any level, for that matter, is how busy you guys stay. I'm sure that, you know, you've had people tell you that, but once you kind of got your feet in the pool, so to speak, is it as crazy of a schedule as most people say it is?
Yeah, it's very hectic. And with my major now, like the more you get into your major, like I student observe from 7 to 10, and then I practice from 10:30 to 1, and we have weight training, and then I have class until 7 o'clock almost every night.
Yeah, you're kind of between classes right now, aren't you?
Yep, I have another class at 4.
Well, when is there? I know with indoor track, and you know, it's kind of a, I don't want to say a year round sport, but it's when does your season start and when does it end?
We had our first meet like the week after Thanksgiving break, so it was like the first week of December we started our first indoor meet, and then indoor runs right into outdoor, and then our last outdoor meet, which is in conference, it's in El Paso, Texas. It's the last week of May. And then if you qualify to go to Nationals, which is in Oregon, you're looking at like the middle of June.
Wow.
Now, obviously, yeah. Anybody that watches Vinton County Athletics recognizes the Owings name, and we've had a lot of good athletes come through here the last few years. I've been fortunate enough to coach a couple of them, and Bryce and Alex, some of your relation. Does the I know the family, the Owings family, loves their sports. Does anybody get down there to watch you?
Yeah, I had a home meet 2 weeks ago, and then I have another one this weekend. And my mom made it to the first one, and then I think everyone's going to get to come to this one. But the Owings family, they like basketball. They're not big track fans.
I know they show up to basketball. You know, over the years there, it seemed like I had an Owings on the team for about 10 straight years, it seemed like. I figure they're the type of family that they'll come around. You know, they'll become big track fans as you keep going.
They always come when they can, because I compete in Athens sometimes.
That's right.
At Ohio University, and they always come to that one.
Where are you? What are you averaging right now as far as your high jumps? You mentioned you were doing like 5'8" when you were a junior. What's an average jump for you right now?
I haven't really got to compete much. I'm having some troubles with my knee. I go back to the doctor in March to find out if I have to have surgery or not. But I jumped 5'8" my senior year in high school, and my freshman year, my PR here at Marshall was 5'6". Now, I didn't lift much in high school, so I've gained a little bit of weight. You can't tell. It's mostly muscle.
Right.
But the more weight you gain, that's a lot you have to convert up over a bar. So I'm struggling a little bit, but it's coming back together. I wasn't allowed to work out at all over Christmas break because of my knee, so I'm kind of getting back into the rhythm of things.
Yeah, Coach Linder was talking to me about that one day. He said that a lot of people don't understand when they go from high school to college, it takes a couple years to actually start to see the benefits of some of that training that you do.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Do you spend a lot of time lifting right now?
Now that we're in season, we only lift twice a week, but on the off season in the fall, we lift three times a week.
Okay. Hey, before we get you out of here, just a quick piece of advice. I know there's a lot of the kids in the basketball program, or the Biddy Leagues and things like that, that they listen to this. If you came back, and I know you're doing elementary education or special ed with your desires to be around children. If you had, after 2 years of being kind of in the big time as far as D1 college athletics, if you could give advice to any kid that wants to play on the college level, what would it be?
It would just be to stick with it. And I mean, all those times that your mom or dad has to drag you out of the house to go to practice, just go. Uh-huh. Because it's worth it. All those little things are the same things you do in college. You just better them.
Huh. Everything just gets a little faster, a little harder, and you got to be a little stronger, yep, and a little tougher. So, mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, sounds like you're doing great. We wish you continued success down there. And we'll be watching and seeing how you do throughout your college career. Okay, Caitlin?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Caitlin Owings, now a Marshall Thundering Herd member.
Yes.
What do you call them? They're Thundering.
Well, I mean, the Herd is the whole thing, so you're a member of the Thundering Herd, I guess. Oh, well. No, it's fun for me to talk to the kids that I used to watch grow up and walk the hallways of our school, and we've had an opportunity over the years to do quite a few of these, and obviously Caitlin's done well for herself to be able to athletically compete at that level. I didn't realize she was having some knee trouble, so hopefully that'll go away for her and she'll be able to get right back out there and compete.
Yeah, before we get out of here for episode 46, I do have one upcoming game we need to preview, and that would be this coming Friday night, February the 13th. That's down on the road at Meg's. Meg's, despite their record, I know that's never a fun gym to play in. I don't know what it is about that place. Nothing bad about it. It's just
it's usually a tough road trip, and they play pretty well at home. And they've here lately they've won a few games. They've had some success. So it's never, like you say, never an easy trip. They've certainly got the type of team that's dangerous. That they can beat you. They can beat anybody on a given night, really. And so it's our last road game of the year. Then we got our last two at home. So we'd like to go out on the right note in terms of our road schedule. And it's winding down here quick. I mean, you're talking about a week and a half. We'll be done with the season, and then getting ready for tournament.
When is tournament draw? It's coming up, what, this weekend online?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, the window to vote is Thursday and Friday. We'll know, we'll basically know Sunday like we always have known. I mean, that'll be the day we find out,
right,
you know, where we're at on the bracket. By the way, the girls, they play the 19th, Thursday the 19th against Warren at 6:15 at Logan High School. So if anyone wants to go out and support the girls in the first round, tough matchup. I mean, Warren's got a really good team. But you know, I think our girls competed pretty hard with them here the other day at our gym. So hopefully they can do that again in the tournament. But that's Thursday the 19th for our girls.
So now back to this draw, because I read this on Southeastern Ohio Preps, and if you read it there, you know it's the truth.
It's the gospel.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Someone had made a comment that seeding by vote, or you know, the way they're doing it this year versus in years past where you all meet at Jackson High School, that they made a comment it's been a mess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you really...
I think there's been some messy things about it. I don't know if the whole process has been a mess. Like I said, I want to wait and see how the guys turn out. I know there were some things in the girls that upset a couple people. You know, again, it's one of those deals. I think my biggest problem with it thus far is that I don't feel like the process itself has been very well explained in terms of how the votes are tallied. You know, I had a couple girls coaches that I spoke to on Saturday, well, a day before they went and got their bracket, and they still didn't know how the votes were tallied. Like, you know, is it a point system? If you vote somebody one, do they get 10 points or two? Or is it how many votes they get on that line? Or is it – and be honest with you, I didn't know. And so I've had to do a little research and digging into it myself this week before we vote. And that part of it, I think if you're going to bring on something new like this, and this was dropped on basketball coaches early in the season, this isn't like something we knew about way in advance here.
Right.
We at least need to explain the process a little bit better, and that's the only thing I think some of the coaches are complaining about.
Not that I'm a coach or anything, but I know the Southeast District has taken its share of criticism over the years and some a variety of things. But in essence, as a coach, you log into send an email to the Southeast District.
Well, center. No, there's a login like on Bomb's page. When Bomb's page is something some people will recognize it's as a track wrestling site.
Right.
They do a lot of their work with those sports, but that's the page that's sort of hosting, I guess, the instrument to vote. And like I said, I think I mentioned this maybe in a previous show, the online voting is a necessary piece if you're going to have like a super sectional. Because if you've got like 33 teams and you can't sit down in a room and vote 33 seeds out, it would take hours and hours and hours.
You have enough trouble dealing with eight.
I mean, so you would have to, in that sense, you have to have, and that's why the East District, Southeast, or Southwest District, all these other districts use the online voting, because they have these huge sectionals. That's something we've been pushing for, and maybe we're on the verge of getting, I don't know.
Is this maybe, not definitely, but perhaps this online voting is a stepping stone to get to a super section?
Maybe so, I guess, because obviously the coaches have been pushing for the super sectional, or however you want to call it, the open sectional where you seat everybody. So I think, I don't know if the Southeast District's wanting to try it out, maybe, the online portion of it. Unfortunately, though, it's going to be completely different when you have that many teams involved as opposed to 9 or 10. So, you know, hopefully the problems that we're having with the online voting doesn't shoot down the idea of the super sectional in the years to come, because I think that's something that'd be very beneficial to our district. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, this was sort of dropped on the coaches a little late in the game. Volleyball did it. I think soccer, which we don't have really that around here much, but soccer did it. I can't remember, maybe another sport. So then they went ahead and moved it to the basketball too. So, you know, we'll have to wait and look at big picture, I guess, when it's all said and done.
Okay. And then do you get an email? How do they release it? They just...
Oh, no, you still go to Jackson.
Oh, no, so there's still the party at Jackson.
Yeah, well, yeah, you still show up. I was talking to my brother who helps coach girls basketball, and he said literally, we weren't there half hour. He goes, we showed up, you know, got our bracket, had a bite to eat. I don't know if in the future they could go a route where, because I know some of the volleyball coaches complained about that, like, yeah, we really, hate, I mean, because like the meetings are usually in Jackson, which for us isn't a big deal, but if you're coming from North Adams or Marietta or something like that, you'd rather not drive that long to be there 15, 20 minutes.
Why? I mean, I personally, just because I love the stories, that all the drama that unfolds there, where, you know, one coach blows up and another coach, and you got three coaches from one conference out in the parking lot, you know, all those stories. I think that's cool. But why? I mean, why do you even need a meeting? You know, why can't you just get an email saying, hey, you got this seat, you're playing at Logan High School on this day at this time, be there?
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, again, the only thing, other than getting a roll of tickets and your passes, stuff like that, but there's probably a way around that, too.
It's called UPS.
I mean, there's different ways you can do it. So that could be maybe down the road something they don't have to do anymore. I don't know. Now, I do know you get a layout when you get there of how everyone voted, too. It is public. Okay. I mean, it is. I mean, like, if you vote, all the coaches are going to know how you vote. It's not that minute, but when they get to that meeting, there's like a matrix or a spreadsheet that says, here's how Benton County voted
this
1 through 10.
This is how Matt Combs screwed this high school out of this seat.
Now they've got it in writing. Yeah.
So that, you just answered the question. I don't know if you realize it or not, but that's the reason you still go to Jackson, because then you have to look at the other coach eye to eye.
Well, maybe that's it, but shoot, I mean, like my brother said, they ran it out of there and 20 minutes. So,
but if you want to fight, you can stick around and argue, make a complete fool yourself.
I guess if that's on your agenda for that day.
That's the coach's drama, and then everyone's all mad at each other, and then by the time the summer golf outing or whatever comes up, you're, hey coach, how you been? Last time I wanted to punch you in the face, but it's all over. It's the way you guys roll. It's the way you're wired.
A forgiving group of people.
Yeah, I remember last year you were. You made some enemies for a while. Then it all turned into chalk.
You know, it happens. It happens.
It does. And I know there's been years, I'm not making you sound like you're the saint here, there's been some years you've not been happy with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do this long enough, there's going to be some times in those tournament situations where it doesn't work out the way you want it to. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you're in the business you are in, and you expect to get your way all the time, then you're in the wrong business.
That's for sure.
So. Anyhow, well, next week, I think, I don't know if it'll be our final week or not. It'll be our final normal week. We might do another episode. I don't even know if you would join us or not with like some journalists, something like that, in 2 weeks to kind of break down tournaments and all that. But next week, is that senior?
Yeah, we're going to try to have our five seniors on. So,
what are they like? Okay, I know Max. Max is he's a chatterbox.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
are they a quiet bunch? Or are they?
No, not really. I mean, Max and
Andy talks.
Andy's outgoing. Bradley will talk. McFerrin, Austin Lambert, a little bit on the quiet side, but not, you know, it's an interesting group. It's actually a pretty good group of seniors in terms of the attitude they've had and for us all year, and really done a nice job for us in accepting their roles and such. Because we have five seniors, only one of them's a starter. So you got four seniors coming off the bench, and sometimes that can be, but with this team, it's been good. And so, we're going to try to set it up so we can record maybe at a little bit of a different time and have those all five of those guys in here. So
okay. I'm sure me and you will wait until Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning and
figure it out.
Throw it all together. That's how we roll. All right. So for Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying thanks for listening to another edition of the Viking Roundball Podcast. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking